Hare Krishna. I would like to talk today on the subject matter of knowledge leading to bhakti. If you think about it, only knowledge which is connected with devotion to Krishna can be called knowledge. And the reason for this is this. When the soul falls into the material world and thus loses its original position as an eternal servant of Krishna and becomes a servant of Maya, at that time a certain energy which is called the avidya shakti covers his remembrance of Krishna and his remembrance of his real state, his real life. This avidya shakti is called ignorance. Vidya means knowledge, and avidya means ignorance. And it is, you can say, the fundament of our material existence on which all the other, let us say, all the other, how do you, in Sanskrit you would say kleshas, but how to translate this? Upon which our whole material life rests. That's the most simple way to say it. When you come, I would like to give you an example. When you come out of this temple room, you will find earth, and on the earth everything else grows. You will find weeds, you will find grass, you will find bushes, you will find these wonderful pine trees, and even more characteristic for Sweden, you will find these birch trees, you know, these white trees. They all grow on the same ground. They are all derivians, or they all get their strengths from the same earth. So when the conditioned soul comes to the world, there is a cover of ignorance covering him, and from this ignorance everything else grows, the whole material existence. First of all, very characteristic, the birch tree of false ego. That's the first. In Sanskrit, this is called ahankara, but also asmita. Smita means to smile, and ah means not to smile. The false ego is miserable. It makes us suffer. So then other things come. Raga means attachment. Dvesha, we don't like certain things. Finally, abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means we are totally entangled in the circle of birth and death. All this, and that's my point, comes from avidya, from ignorance, just like all the plants grow from a certain ground, which is the substratum, that's a complicated word, I know, from which everything else arises, this avidya. So when you cultivate knowledge which is not destroying your ego, when you cultivate knowledge which does not destroy your attachment, when you cultivate knowledge which doesn't destroy your entanglement in material existence, in other words, if you cultivate knowledge which does not take away this layer of ignorance, this knowledge is also just a manifestation of the Avidya Shakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes a very bleak, has a very bleak opinion of material knowledge, which doesn't cultivate the knowledge of the soul and its relationship to Krishna. He says, in his experience, this knowledge, and it can include dentistry, knowledge of mathematics, etc., knowledge even of business life, and how to make a quick rupee. If this knowledge does not really address the main issue, that we are lost in a world of birth and death as a result of leaving Krishna, and we are covered with this avidya shakti, this ignorance which gives rise to our material entanglement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this knowledge is just another form of avidya, of ignorance, just disguised in an academic dress, for instance, or in a business dress, or so on. And he says he has seen that material knowledge generally does not lead to spiritual knowledge. You need to really cultivate spiritual knowledge, and then you will make your relationship with Krishna. My dear devotees, I am not very, I don't like to say, to talk about myself, but somehow when I met, when I started to read Prabhupada's books, I became so disinterested in continuing my material education that, listen to this, I ran away from school when I was 15 years old. A baby. A baby with legs. Because somehow, I mean, I was a little bit, I was not interested in school. I had many, many other fields of interest. So I must say, I took this also as a pretext to run away from school. I'm not such a saintly being. But as I have become older and older in spiritual life, I have visited many conferences, and I talk in universities, and I have academics who are my friend, and they invite me to give presentations in their classes and so on. I am a little, and I'm also find out I'm a person who is by nature very interested to know things, and I have also, I must admit, now studied a little psychology to understand the human being, because I do have to preach to him. I have to see how he receives knowledge and how he interprets knowledge and so on. But deep inside of me, I just know that if you can cultivate spiritual knowledge, then you are on the safe side. If you do only cultivate material knowledge, which is has its place. We need to have some knowledge in order to do our profession. Just as a preacher, I need to know a little bit how to address an educated audience according to their understanding. But that's for service or for work. For our own life, we cultivate spiritual knowledge to disentangle ourselves from the world. Just I would like to give you a question. When you are sitting in the prison, there's one knowledge which is most important, and that's how to get out of the prison. Or when you are diseased and have a terrible disease, there's one knowledge which is very important for you, how to become healthy. Don't waste your time with things which are besides the point, with knowledge which is besides the point. The point is, we are eternal spiritual beings. We belong to Krishna. And this has to be, and how Prabhupada said it so nice, what's the goal of our life? The sadhya and sadhana. What is the practice which brings us there? That is of topmost interest for us, and that we need to cultivate. Hare Krishna. So I would like to talk a little bit about this now from the life, from a very important conversation which took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this highly, highly exalted Vaishnava, Ramananda Roy, who had full knowledge of his original position in the spiritual world. And how this is, we will see a little later. Now, while I talk, can I ask one of you who has either a Kindle or a tablet or any other of these little monsters, to find for me Chaitanya Charitamrita? You have Antya Leela, our devotee from Canada has Antya Leela, 5th chapter, text 20, and I need the purport of this while I'm in the, a little later, but you can look it up already now. You understood? Antya 5:20. Good. Ramananda Roy had a very interesting, he held a very interesting position in the Orissian Empire. He was the viceroy, that means the representative of the king Prataparudra, and he was stationed at the most critical part of the Orion or Orissian Empire, that is at its weakest frontier, the frontier to the south. And by his expertise as a statesman, he was able to defend that kingdom against the kings of the, what was it? I have to look at my Vidya. Yes, at the southern kingdoms, and also he was able to defend this border against the Mohammedan states of the Deccan. Now, at the same time, he was a great Sanskrit scholar, a poet, a writer of drama, a master musician, and he knew about the highly esoteric subject matter of rasa. These are the different emotional responses of the devotees to Radha and Krishna, which they exhibit in these wonderful, amazing, loving pastimes in the spiritual world. He knew all about this, which is a very complex subject matter. Now, he had a friend in Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whom we saw yesterday in the theater, in the drama of Abhishek. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya liked Ramananda as a statesman, but he would always cut jokes about him as far as his devotional side was concerned. He would laugh. You always talk about Krishna to me and about his qualities and so on. You are a little bit too pious. he would laugh like this. But when Savabhoma Bhattacharya met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was introduced by Mahaprabhu to the wonderful world of bhakti, he changed his opinion and understood that Ramananda Roy, his friend, was actually the greatest devotee. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his legendary preaching tour through South India, he said to Mahaprabhu, before the Lord left Puri, you must meet one person. It is Ramananda. Please, I request you, go and meet him. And he gave him the details where Ramananda could be found. So this sets the stage for a most amazing meeting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, he traveled during the day on the road, and he sang one very nice song all the time. You can sing with me. Krishna Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna Hare, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Rakshama. Everyone who met the Lord was embraced by the Lord and surcharged with his Krishna bhakti. So singing, chanting, preaching like this, Lord Chaitanya arrived at the banks of the Godavari River, where he took his bath, and then after the bath, he chanted japa. He chanted on a string, and which had knots, so that this way he would count the Maha Mantra. And as he was sitting like this, a golden, effulgent mountain of love, you could say, he heard in the distance a procession approaching. There were brahmanas who recited Vedic mantras, and then palanquin carriers who carried a most amazing personality down to the Godavari. This personality came out of the palanquin, and when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu absorbed in japa, a little in the distance, sitting there on the bank of the river, he was highly touched. He felt a surge of love arising in his heart, and he rushed towards the spot where the Lord sat. The brahmanas who were around him and other states people had never seen Ramananda Roy, that was his name, approaching a sannyasi like that. But more would come. Ramananda, they saw how their master paid his obeisances, got up, and by that time the sannyasi had gotten up, and these brahmanas saw how they were embracing and how the sannyasi started to cry and their master started to cry in the embrace of the sannyasi. Both of them became so overwhelmed that they lost all composure. Then that they came to the spot, and by that time Ramananda saw his people and they saw the expression of deep surprise in their faces. And he said, "Where can I meet you? Did you understand? Where can I meet you?" He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of a brahmana and he gave that address. And then in the Ramananda Roy composed himself, he brushed off the dust and he switched roles and was again the politician, the statesman, the viceroy. In the evening he came dressed in simple attire to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recognizing the intimate associate of Srimati Radharani, dealt with him in a very special way. He said, "I have questions to you." He had never done this before. "Can you please answer my questions?" Ramananda Roy said, I actually have questions for you." "No, you answer my questions," said Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And a wonderful discussion, which is called in our Gaudiya tradition the Ramananda Samvad, ensued. This discussion, my dear devotees, if you want to understand our philosophy in depth, if you want to know what is the goal of life, and what if you want to know how to attain it, you must read it. But it is really very, very exalted. You might read it maybe 100 times in your life. I want to say a verse from Chaitanya Lila to describe first of all the nature of the discussion. And then I want to describe some of the subjects of the discussion. Gauranga, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, is like the ocean of spiritual truths. He filled the cloud named Ramananda with the nectar of the purest conclusion of devotion to himself. Ramananda then rained down that same nectar on the very ocean from which it had come, producing the jewels of transcendental knowledge. Now, I have compassion to the overly tired Pandavasenas and will translate this into Abhishek language. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a wonderful storm cloud. Ramananda, the devotee, comes and receives the knowledge like an ocean receives the rain of this from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then gives that knowledge back like the ocean which evaporates and gives back the knowledge. And at the same time, it produces jewels. There are certain constellations when it rains, jewels come. That is the most esoteric knowledge. It started, Mahaprabhu said, how can we attain the supreme truth of life? And then Ramananda Roy gave answers, and then like Prabhupada said in that little clip which we saw, he said, that's not very important, please go further. Would you like to know the root of this discussion, or is it too early for you before breakfast to think? You can think. Akash, can you think? Yes, you are switched on? Or only the smile is switched on? You must now switch on your intelligence. In this age, Prabhupada, I give you a summary of Prabhupada. It comes from teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, so they started with Varnashram, but Prabhupada summarizes the discussion. He says, in this age, there is no possibility of acquiring spiritual knowledge by discharging one's duties in the Varnashram Dham system or by devotional service mixed with fruitive activity. By renunciation, you cannot attain the knowledge. Or by devotional service mixed with the culture of knowledge. You know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Because most people are fallen, and because there is no time to elevate them by a gradual process, the best course, according to Lord Chaitanya, is to let them remain in whatever condition they are in, but to engage them in hearing of the activities of the Supreme Lord as those activities are explained in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, here Prabhupada speaks about Pandava Sena. To stay in a condition, in the whatever condition one is in, you know, students or dentists or whatever profession which you execute to maintain your family. But at the same time, you just hear about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Like our Pradyumna said, can't you give 15 minutes to these granthas, these scriptures? Then the transcendental messages of the scriptures should be heard from the lips of realized souls. In this way, a person may continue to live in whatever condition he is in and still make spiritual progress. Thus, one can surely advance and fully realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No? I think here it's when Ramananda Roy, after suggesting so many processes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he said, let everyone stay where they are, let them not renounce falsely, but most important, let them absorb their mind in hearing about Krishna's glories from the scriptures. And then Achyuta, the infallible and inaccessible Lord, will immediately submit himself to the devotees and say, I am here. I am here for you. No? Then from there, Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu went high and high and highest. And I leave that for another discussion. It ends where they discuss that the highest position is really to assist the gopis and Radharani in their loving pastimes with Lord Krishna and so on. Now at another, this was discussed in the evening. They discussed for quite some days, and one day Mahaprabhu asked very quick questions. They could appear in your Facebook. They are really fast, or Instagram questions. He asked amongst, and Ramananda Roy answered this, and this has become a small catechism. I know it's a difficult word, you can look it up. I can't explain it in detail. It's a summary of the core beliefs of Krishna consciousness. It's very brief and very concise. Mahaprabhu fires a question. He says, Ramananda, tell me, of all education, now that I will do at the end because it's about the subject. Now, what is the greatest achievement, he asked, for the living entities? Is it money, position? Is it fame as a devotee? Is it what? Ramananda Roy said, to be a servant of Sri Krishna, this title is the greatest of all. My dear devotees, all get a das under behind your name. Then this is very good. And live the das. Sachinandandas, Navin Krishna Das, Syam Gopal Das. This title, the Das, is better than being a Brahma or Lord Shiva in this world. It is the greatest position, says Ramananda Roy. But then tell me, what is the supreme treasure which we should treasure in our heart? Love, said Ramananda Roy, to Radha Govinda is the best treasure, and the lover of Sri Radha Govinda is the richest of all. My dear devotees, I have heard that in Pandavasena we are sometimes having a little pressure from our parents. You must earn sufficiently. Earn sufficiently, and it's a high bar for many of us, what is sufficient. Don't forget, become rich in the coins of love. That is the real treasure. I like also this one. Which distress is the most severe? I always thought to go to the dentist is the most severe distress. I went, I had eight, anyways, it's not so important. Which distress is the most severe? Do you have any idea? O knowers of distress.
Separation
from whom? From everything, yes. Others, yes.
Death.
Sorry?
Death.
I cannot acoustic.
Thought. Death.
Death. Greatest distress. Death, yeah.
Not feeling loved.
It's a big distress.
There is no other pain than separation from the Vaishnava.
Yeah. Separation from the devotee of Krishna, Ratnabhushana remembers. Separation from the devotees, from the devotee of Krishna, is the most severe type of distress. I had read this during Prabhupada's presence, my dear devotees. And I thought, well, there are other distresses, really. I mean, and then Prabhupada left the world. That was so distressful. The devotees, I don't know about this time. I have no memory. But the devotees told me, you went like a ghost for 1 week through the castle where we lived. We lived in a castle that was our temple in Germany. I didn't eat, apparently. I didn't sleep. But I remember one thing. One time I crashed down in one room and I found myself in another room. And my dear devotees, I am tested is psychologically totally healthy. It is not that. It was just the distress was so overwhelming that I just couldn't continue for I don't know how long. I have no memory of this. I crashed down once. That is the memory I remember because I hit my head on a metal thing, you know. But I found myself in a bed later. They had put me there. Oh, my God, is that bad, that distress. And so on. He says like this. And in this way, many questions and answers are there. Where should we live? Many practical things, you know. What to best engage your hearing about? What should you listen to? And so on. It's a very, very nice work. And it's amazing that Mahaprabhu, first question is on our subject here. He said, of all education, which one do you consider the best? Ramananda Roy answered, devotional service to Sri Krishna is the supreme form of education. Other than that, all other education is not fit to be called vidya or education. Everything else is avidya or ignorance. So here Ramananda Roy makes that point, which I really would like you to mill about. As we are here in this world, we need to get an understanding how to get out of this unnatural position of being thrown into a world where the only certain thing is that we will lose everything, according all our money, all our relationships. We just come here in this life to really become the absolute losers, the final losers. You won't be able to even keep a simple pen with you, a writing pen. You, not even your glasses. Nothing. You will die. That's the only thing sure here. And for this, we need to find a solution. I remember Prabhupada sitting on a Vyasasana, and his voice is very high-pitched. You must make a solution to this birth and death, he says. Wow. Is that even possible? Most people asked him. The answer is yes, by educating yourself in the science of bhakti or devotional service to Krishna. Then you will be again with Krishna. Now, Ramananda Roy was not a theoretical speaker. He was a practically, deeply realized personality. And that became apparent in one very amazing, if not even challenging, leela. You know, once an exalted devotee, Pradyumna Mishra, he was a high-class devotee, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, my Lord, could you please tell me about Krishna? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time he was back in Puri, he said, I don't really know so much about Krishna. You go to Ramananda. Ramananda Roy, by that time, had left his position as a viceroy. The king had released him from this duty, and he lived in Puri in a place called the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, and he composed literature, and more important, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to discuss Krishna consciousness with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, come with me, we need to discuss every day. You live in Puri and we will meet there. And Ramananda Roy had obliged. He had gone to Prataparudra. The king asked him for release, and as we heard yesterday, he even got a pension, lifelong pension. Yes. So he lived there, and Pradyumna Mishra went to the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. He was received by the servant of Ramananda, and the servant said, "What is your what can we do for you?" "Oh," said Pradyumna Mishra, "I've been sent here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to speak with Ramananda Roy, not to speak with him, but to hear from him Krishna Katha. He seems to be the most qualified." That's what Gauranga Mahaprabhu said. "Aha," said the servant, "Ramananda Roy is at the moment busy. I don't know if I can disturb him now." "Oh," said Pradyumna Mishra, "I would like to know a little bit more about him. What is he doing?" "Well," said the servant, and he thought for a while, and then he decided to say, "He is training two Devadasis. He has written a work called, I forgot just now, Vala, Jagannath, something, Jagannath, a drama, and he's training them, just like, he's training them to dance, to express the different emotions to the Lord, and he also bathes them. And Pradyumna Mishra listened. It's almost like if I asked Gokrishna, "What is Abhishek doing?" "Well, he is in some room with two beautiful girls." "Alone?" "Yes, alone." "And what is he doing?" "Well, he's training them to express emotions of love." And I don't want to go further in this analogy. We would think, "Oh, I don't know if I will come to the theater play of Abhishek in the evening." I will consider deeply. This is a little bit... So he waited, Pradyumna Mishra waited, but a doubt began to germinate in his mind. And finally the servant, finally Ramananda Roy sent the two Devadasis by a secret entrance out of the garden, and the girls, without being seen by anyone, left. And then the servant informed him that he immediately came to where Pradyumna Mishra is. Pradyumna Mishra by that time had a grave doubt about Ramananda Roy. Ramananda asked him, "What can I do for you?" "Oh, time is also there," said Pradyumna Mishra. "It's a little late. I don't wish to disturb you now. I just came..." "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Yes, we are back. "I just came to have your darshan." And then Pradyumna Mishra went home, ate something, and went to bed. The next morning, he came to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu immediately asked him, "So did you hear about Krishna Katha from Ramananda Roy?" Pradyumna Mishra said, no, my lord, he was busy with two Devadasis, and I have a great doubt." Now you must know what is the tradition of Devadasis to understand this. Long ago, a devotee in Utkala, in Orissa, had seen dust on the garment of Lord Jagannath. And he didn't know the Lord is in the temple. How does dust come on his garment? And he decided to hide and watch the Lord. So all of a sudden, the next day, he sees that the Lord on the altar starts to move. He looks around and then he sneaks out of his temple. The devotee follows him. And the Lord goes into a garden where there is a beautiful girl dancing for his pleasure and singing the songs of Gita Govinda. It's a poetical composition of Jayadev Goswami. And he sees, wow, my Lord likes to hear this performance so much, where the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna are expressed. I should tell the king. So he goes to the king and says, my Lord listened to the Gita Govinda and he made his garment dusty in going there. Oh, says the king, then we will arrange that only for his eyes, only for his pleasure, the girls of Brahmanas can sing the Gita Govinda in noontime and in the evening before he goes and retires. And from that time on, the tradition was made that highly qualified devotee girls were singing the Gita Govinda with the accompaniment of music. In fact, the Lord likes this particular composition, which talks about his pastimes with Radha Rani and the gopis, so much that he wears in the evening a chada, which has all the verses of the Gita Govinda printed on it. I have a little tick of that chada. If you come and visit me one day, I will be able to show that chada to you. These temple dancers, in other words, were dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. Temple dance later was taken by the kings out of this very sacred environment, and it became an form of entertainment through the performing arts and so on. And many other things happened so that the Devadasis fell in disrepute because they were extraordinarily beautiful. And men who were there and saw them dancing were not always able to control their lower instincts. And so on. We don't need to go into the detail. So when Mahaprabhu saw, that Pradyumna Mishra had developed the art of was training these devotees in the art of doing a perfect rendition of the very highly confidential pastimes. When Pradyumna Mishra developed this doubt that maybe there is something unbecoming going on, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed about the greatness of this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this. Wait a minute, I need to find it. I have the wrong reference. Mahaprabhu said, I am a sannyasi and I certainly consider myself renounced. But not to speak of seeing a woman, if I even hear the name, I feel changes in my mind and body. But Ramananda Roy is different. The mind of Ramananda Roy never changes, although he teaches the girls how to physically express all the transformations of ecstasy. His mind is as steady as wood or stone. And then he explained that Ramananda Roy did not consider himself a male person, but he was fully realized and acted on in his original position as a maidservant of Radharani. Ramananda Rai used to act in that way because he thought of himself in his original position as a maidservant of the gopis. Thus, although externally he appeared to be a man, internally, in his original spiritual position, he considered himself a maidservant and considered the two girls to be gopis. There's a nice explanation on this in Antyalila chapter 5, text 20. This is a very, very esoteric subject. I want to tell you why I thought to bring it even up. The reason is, my dear devotees, the Chaitanya Bhakti can be cultivated in whatever position you are and by just hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the scriptures and the holy name. And you can get the full mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is where every one of us can start. But it also brings us to the highest subjects, which are almost inconceivable for us with our material conditioned mind. It brings us to a position of identity, spiritual identity. Did you ever consider that maybe you are not a man? Did you ever consider that maybe you are not a woman, but something totally different? Did you ever consider that maybe you are not the body which you presently have, but something entirely different? A person who is just full of love, unlimited love, love which is so big that you cannot even attempt to describe it in the terms of this world. The only approximation, but it's a very approximation from a very long distance, is that it is like the love which is here in this world, the highest manifestation of love, even higher than that of a mother to the child. Prabhupada said the best way to understand devotional love is by thinking of the unconditioned love between a mother who loves her child. There's not a trace of selfishness. Even in the most exalted mundane relationships between man and woman, I know my father loves my mother, they are both approaching their 100th birthday, and really they serve each other very much in their old age. But even that is mixed with a trace of selfishness. It cannot be different. But the sacrifice a mother does for the child, I mean, that is, you cannot pay anyone in this world to do such a sacrifice, to always be up in the night when the child cries, wow, the poor mother doesn't sleep. When the child is, something is wrong, the mother worries and will somehow find a solution. Oh, oof, oof, my God, she will stay awake when the child is sick and goes through the feverish nights. My mother would always bring cold towels over my, what is it, calf? Is it this part of the leg? Is calf, to cool down the whole night. There and reading fairy tales, because that's what I liked when I was a child. So much. You cannot pay any, there is no job which is as demanding as the work of the, not work, the service of the mother to the child. So Prabhupada says that type of love is gives us an idea how selflessly the love of the residents of Vrindavan, including the gopis and the manjaris, are. So you cannot compare it with any man and woman relationship in this world. It's not possible, because it's so free from selfishness. So this is the position of Ramananda Roy. He was there. He had realized everything. He was not thinking any longer. He is a Ramananda Roy, or a male person. He was on a different level, inconceivable high. But what they left us, what the great Mahaprabhu left us through his devotees, is a relatable and doable path of developing knowledge about bhakti, and in this way entering the ocean of the real life of Krishna consciousness. I wish you that you can study our scriptures regularly and become ablaze is a English word, ablaze with the fire of love, because after all, that is the greatest achievement, the greatest treasure you can go for in this human form of life. Once one of my godbrother was interviewed by a magazine. What is the result in bhakti? When you come to bhakti, what is the experience? What is it? And he said, you will be overwhelmed with love. A nice definition, isn't it? You will be overwhelmed with love. That is the idea of knowledge of this discussion of where Mahaprabhu made Ramananda Roy speak like a puppet is made to dance by its master, Hare Krishna. Yes. I see your presence, Mr. Enthusiasm, showing that it's time. I thought today I will go beyond 9/11. So now I'm beyond this time. I'm past 9 o'clock and 11 minutes. Krishna. Oh, Krishna. How can I express it in my words? Famous last words. I know we have to stop. My dear devotees, please study with an aim. Understand this Krishna consciousness with an aim. Focus yourself on an aim that one day, I hope, by reading our scriptures, that I will become a real bhakta, means a practitioner of bhakti. Let me find out how I can also live bhakti and feel bhakti and express bhakti to others. Then your study of the scriptures will be extremely successful. And read every day. Hare Krishna. Anyways, I have so much more here, but I cannot finish everything. Let us end here. Today, no questions because we are over time, and Mr. Enthusiasm will take us to the next destination for you.